I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be complete in you, so my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
Spirit. It was the night before the crucifixion, the night when Judas betrayed him and Jesus was arrested. It was the night the disciples finally grasped that Jesus really was going to leave them. And on this night, he had so much to say to them about how they were to live when he had gone, and so much comfort and encouragement to give. Last week, we looked at his promise that he would not abandon them. He would not leave them without help. He would send the Holy Spirit to unite them to God and support them in their obedience. And now Jesus turns to talk about relationships. And today we're thinking about the relationship of believers to Jesus and the relationship of believers to each other. And next week we will look at the relationship of believers to the world. But I wonder if you can put yourself in the place of the disciples on this night. Can you imagine what they were thinking and feeling? I suspect that their minds were in turmoil. During the Passover meal, Jesus had said that one of them was going to betray him. He said that Peter would disown him. And he said that he was going away. And I imagine them being troubled and afraid, in spite of Jesus telling them not to be, and struggling to grasp all that he was saying. How were they going to cope when he had gone? How were they going to do the things that he had done? How were they going to share his teaching and make disciples of others? How could they be the people that Jesus was asking them to be? And that's the question for us so often, isn't it? We read in the Bible that we are to be salt and light, and that we are to bear fruit. But how do we do that? And what does it look like anyway? Well, I wondered if you noticed in the passage that Stuart read for us that two words kept recurring. remain, which really means abide or live. I actually really much prefer the word abide in that passage because I think it kind of describes it so much better. But the new translations have remain. Remain and love. And those two words sum up the answer to our question. Those two words tell us how we can live in a way that honours God and what it looks like when we do. It's like a vine, said Jesus. I'm the vine and you're the branches. And that picture really sums up what the Christian life is. Remain or abide in me, and I will remain in you. The Christian life, the life that honors God, is all about a relationship with Jesus. It's not just believing about him. It's not just going through the motions of religion, as so many people think it is. It's about a real and living relationship with Jesus. So what's the relationship between a vine and its branches? Well, the life is in the vine. The branches don't have any life in themselves. They can't exist by themselves. Branches that are no longer attached to the vine, branches that no longer have the life of the vine flowing through them, will just wither and die and need to be cut off. So how were the disciples to cope? How do we cope? How do we live a life that honors God with all the challenges and difficulties that life throws up? By the life of Jesus that flows into us, just as the life of the vine flows into its branches. That's how we can bear fruit. That's how we can live as befits children of God. And branches of a vine can only bear fruit as they're attached to the vine. God's will is that we should bear fruit, but we can only bear fruit as we are part of the vine that is in Jesus. We can only bear fruit as we remain, as we live in him. Remain in me, and I will remain in you, said Jesus. We live in him, and his life is in us. So what does that look like in practice? Well, we remain in Jesus as we talk to him, as we let him talk to us, as we read scripture, maybe as we listen to songs of worship and praise, or sing worship songs in our heads. The letter to the Ephesians says we should sing and make music in our hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. How and when we do that will be a little bit different for every one of us. Just as my relationship with each one of you is different and personal, so is the relationship that Jesus has with each one of us. There are no rules in a relationship. One of the most helpful things I ever heard about prayer was this: pray as you can, not as you can't. In other words, your relationship with Jesus should be what is right for you in loving obedience to him, not what other people tell you you should be doing. And it should also involve our being at worship here on a Sunday as often as we can manage. Tom Wright says, we must remain in the community that knows and loves him and celebrates him as its Lord. There is no such thing as a solitary Christian. We can't go it alone, but we must also remain as people of prayer and worship in our own intimate, private lives. He says we must make sure to be in touch, in tune with Jesus, knowing him and being known by him. Nicky Gumbel says, cultivate a growing friendship with Jesus by spending time with him, walking with him, praying and listening to him through his word, following his desires. And then we will increasingly bear fruit. What does that mean, that bearing fruit? Well, last week we saw that Jesus spoke about loving obedience. In this passage, he speaks about joy. In the letter to the Ephesians, we read that we are to live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. The letter to the Galatians tells us that the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit in our lives is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the life of Jesus being revealed in us. It's his life flowing into us as the life of a vine flows into the branches and then flowing out through us. And fruitfulness leads to a prayer life that brings answers. I appointed you to go and bear fruit, said Jesus. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. That promise to answer prayer is dependent on remaining in Jesus and his words remaining in us. Union with Jesus is the basis, the foundation of all prayer, because it's when we're remaining in him, when we're close to him, that we know that we are praying in line with his will. But the vine needs to be looked after. My Father is the gardener, said Jesus, the one who tends the vine. And an important thing in looking after vines is that they need to be pruned. In Hampton Court, and this is a picture of it, there is the largest grapevine in the world. It was planted in 1768. The average crop of black grapes is about 600 pounds. But in 2001, it produced its best crop ever at 845 pounds of grapes. That's a lot of red wine. After the vine flowers, the number of bunches is reduced and the remaining bunches are thinned. In November and December, when the plant is dormant, the fruiting spurs are pruned back to one or two buds. The vine produces so much fruit because it gets pruned. And so it is with us. Jesus says that every branch that bears fruit is pruned so that it will produce even more fruit. What does that look like? Well, sometimes there are things in our lives that God says we need to get rid of because they're unhelpful for us. That's pruning. And then we all go through hard times in our lives, times of disappointment, bereavement, fear, anxiety, and grief. But God is caring for us in these times. He is at work in our lives. The gardener is never closer to the vine, never more careful of it than when he's pruning it. And God so often seems especially close to us in our times of trouble. In the letter to the Hebrews, we read, endure hardship as discipline. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And we read in the letter to the Romans that in everything, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. The heavenly gardener lovingly cares for every branch of his vine. So how can we be the people of God in the midst of an ungodly world? As we remain in Jesus, as a branch remains in a vine, we receive his life, his power, and his love. This is to my Father's glory, he said, that you bear much fruit, to be my disciples. We're going to pause for a moment. We're used to Jesus speaking in parables, using the everyday things he saw around him as illustrations in his teaching. But this allegory of the vine was a bit different. It wasn't unfamiliar to the disciples, because the culture of the vine was one of the most common occupations of that day in Palestine. But the vine and the vineyard were hugely important images for the Jewish people. The Old Testament is full of references to the vine as representing the people of God, people planted and tended by him so that the nation of Israel would produce fruit. But instead of good fruit, Israel produced disobedience and injustice, idolatry and oppression. And prophets spoke of the vineyard producing wild grapes that dishonored God. And now Jesus is saying something new. The picture of the vine isn't just a clever illustration from gardening. It's about who the people of God really are. They are no longer the nation of Israel as in Old Testament times. Now the people of God are all who belong to and remain in Jesus. We are the people of God as we remain in him, and he has promised to answer our prayers as we let his words remain in us. And as the people of God, we are called above all else to be people of love. Our relationship to Jesus is summed up in that word, remain. Our relationship to one another is summed up in the word, love. My command is this, said Jesus, love one another as I have loved you. So not just love, but Jesus' standard love. That's the highest standard imaginable, the highest standard ever. And we can only love like Jesus as we remain in his love, the love that transforms us, that heals us and redeems us, and as we obey his commands. And that obeying his commands is not dull, dreary obedience. People so often think that being a Christian is about being miserable. But Jesus said, it's about joy. I've told you all this, he said in our passage, so that my joy may be in you, and so that your joy may be complete. So what's Jesus' love for us like? Greater love has no one than this, but that they would lay down their life for their friends. We've thought about the cross already this morning. Laying down your life for your friends is the highest achievement of human love, but divine love went way beyond that because Jesus laid down his life for his enemies. What about us? Do we lay down our life for our friends? Do we put them first? Consider their needs more important than our own? Take time to listen to them, pray for them, help them? Are we prepared to love our enemies, to love those who have hurt us? Can we forgive them and put aside the hurts, praying for them too? That's really hard, and that is only possible by the life of Jesus within us, only possible as we remain in him and his life remains in us. And Jesus calls us his friends. We're not servants, he says, because servants don't know what their master's doing. But he says, you're my friends if you do what I command. Everything I learned from the Father, I've made known to you. As we live in him, and as we seek to love one another in obedience to him, he calls us friends. What a privilege to be called a friend of Jesus. And he says that he has chosen us and appointed us to bear fruit that will last. Do we sometimes wonder if we're really bearing fruit? Jesus has appointed us to do that, to bear lasting fruit. This is how people will know that you are my disciples, said Jesus, that you love one another. A relationship to Jesus, to remain, to abide, to live in him. A relationship to one another that flows out of that is to love. Nicky Gumbel says, Jesus wants you to be filled with joy and fully alive. There's no greater joy than to know you are valued, precious, and loved by God, and to love others as you are loved. Amen.